Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours today. We've got, first of all, we've got our guest, who I'm going to introduce to you in a minute, who'll be here between 12 and 1. Between 1 and 2, we've got Hutchinson Legal coming in telling us all about... Well, no, they're not telling us. They'll be answering the sorts of questions that we want answered. And also, if you do have any questions you'd like to ask, if you give Greg a ring on 59615991... 59615991. While we're talking to this particular guest, we'll put those to them as well. So, and then between 2 and 3, we've got a really great guest coming in to talk about some local events coming up and what he's been doing. So, terrific 3 hours. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce Councillor Fiona McAllister. Welcome, Fiona.
Oh, thanks, Alan. Great to be here.
Great to have you too, Fiona. I just want to touch on something. The very first time I did an interview with you is, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago, and we just had the great winds and everything that went through the Dandenongs, and you were the mayor, and people without power for months and everything. Do you remember? Well, I bet you remember that.
I sure do. It was right in the middle of COVID as well, Alan, so it was a double whammy.
Yeah, you got hit with everything. So let me just ask you, Fiona, we had another... episode about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the Dandenongs don't seem to have... I'm not putting it down because some people I know were without power for a few days, but it didn't. This one didn't seem to be as bad as what the last one. Am I right with that?
Yeah, certainly the impact of the storm was not like the one a few years ago, but definitely there were a lot of trees down and people are still feeling the impact. You know, big trees on their properties, roads were blocked. The scale was not the same as the one we saw a few years ago, thank God.
And you weren't the mayor this time, so you only had to you didn't have to take responsibility for the whole area.
No. So Councillor Todorov did a wonderful job, as did the council team springing into action. And I think, sadly, because we have these events every year now, if it's not storms, it's floods, potentially fires into the future, but just making sure we spring into action immediately to support people without power. And yes.
And I guess one of the things too we should mention, and I'd like you to sort of comment on, apart from the council workers, and I know they work long hours and all that during, but you also have people like the SES, don't you, who are just straight out volunteers who may have to get up the next day and go to work.
Oh, I think the number of call outs to the SES during these events, you know, it's in the hundreds. And you know, we only have a couple of SES brigades in Yarra Ranges, or a few, and small number of volunteers absolutely punch above their weight. CFA get behind them, and then all of the other community groups that spring into action to, you know, offer showers. And you know, it's just incredible. We have an amazing community.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, and I've mentioned this before, people like the CFA and the SES, some of those, if they're working during the day, they actually give up a day of their annual leave to do it, don't they?
Oh, I think some of them give up many days of their annual leaves to do it, yeah.
So it's terrific. Fiona, let's get down to business. it's been probably, well, it has been miles too long since we had you in, but in the last year, has there been any notable events that you'd like to bring up? We're talking about the past just for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's always a big question, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And it's hard to remember.
Yeah, look, I think, the past 12 months, we've certainly had all of those weather events. So we've had the recent heat. So lots of those have affected community, and council's had to, you know, to think about how we best offer support. So that's an ongoing thing, and that's sadly kind of part of business as usual. But the last year I've seen a lot of flooding, heat, storms and wind. So I think, that factors into when we talk about the year ahead, you know, some of the things that we're really focusing on for the year ahead. We saw our community recovery committees finish off their work. So they were the committees that were set up post those big storms to, support community bounce back.
So they've still been meeting, have they?
They finished up last year, so that would be, I don't know, July, August, and now what we're seeing and have seen even as recently as Saturday or Sunday with the wonderful Connecting Community event in Healesville is actually the projects that they supported through the grant funding coming to life. So I reckon that's been a lovely thing that has played out over the last 12 months, and as I always say, for every dollar that council gives to community support, the great ideas and the great groups, just what a fantastic benefit. You know, it's kind of 100-to-1 return.
Well, some of those issues or some of those events too, not only is it a case of, you know, getting everybody going again, but very often it brings people back into the community and they start to spend a bit of money from people not necessarily in the community, don't they?
Oh yeah, both. So the Connecting Community event on the weekend was, I think, probably mostly locals, but it brought people together to do, you know, to connect, lots of groups, you know, getting to understand all of the groups they can be part of. But then some of the big festivals, so obviously we've got things like the Moorabark Festival coming up next week.
Yep.
And they're ones that are definitely locals, but lots of people travel to be part of those, you know, to experience and enjoy those events as well.
All right, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
When you were young and young, this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die. Live and let die.
Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Councillor Fiona McAllister, who happens to be the councillor for all around here and down to Yarra Junction. So we're actually in her patch, although we were when she used to come into Wurri Alec as well. Fiona, you just wanted to finish off talking a little bit about last year.
Yeah, and look, it's a bit, you know, how long have we got, really? but I'll keep it brief. I think other things that, one of the big disappointments of the last year was we'd been given a very big bucket of money, about $150 million to help us seal local roads, which, gosh, you know, I bet everyone listening agrees is an absolute priority. I think it always pops number one in terms of most important things. Unfortunately, we lost most of that funding, so, you know, about $100 million of it. And so...
Why did you lose it, Fiona?
Look, change in federal government, and so different priorities. And so the upside was finishing off the $50 million we got and sealing a lot of roads and community. But I know really disappointing in the last 12 months for all of those community members who were looking forward to their road being sealed, and we weren't able to fund it. So, yeah. So that's probably, you know, sorry to end on a downer.
Well, we'll try and lift it up now.
Yes, let's.
All right. So, what's coming up this year that you can, that's already on the calendar for council and also for your community here?
Well, we're in the throes of working out the budget at the moment at council, so that will go public, I think, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, where we'll go out to community for comment. And, you know, that's a tricky process. I know we've got a big amount of money. It's about $200 million, actually, that we're Yarra Ranges Council is responsible for in terms of community, and trying to figure out what's, you know, what's most important. So, you know, drainage has been a big thing, and we spoke earlier about, you know, the storms and flooding, and, you know, there are parts of Yarra Ranges that have terrible impact from that. So that's going to, spoiler alert, we're going to ramp that up substantially and spend more on drainage. So I guess, you know, it's really just for everyone to have a look at what comes out in the budget and give feedback on that.
I guess no matter how much you spend, there's always a person who says, oh, well, we missed out, isn't there? You can't be everything to everyone.
No. And it's... yeah, I think there are always other ways to make things happen. So roads and, you know, building things are tricky. I'm certainly pushing for the funding for the new, you know, getting a new pavilion up at Don Road for, you know, we need that. So there's those big ticket items. But there are other ways we can, you know, push for money from other levels of government or, you know, bring things to life. So any community ideas about projects or things they'd like to see delivered is always incredibly important,
And the other thing is too, every dollar that's spent in the community, helping the community, really long-term comes back, doesn't it? And that's what the ratepayers want.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we often have conversations about, you know, some of these things where you can go, well, that costs us a lot of money. Swimming pools are a great example. But, you know, just think about, you know, we're very lucky. We've got a beautiful outdoor pool. We've got the Jack Hort indoor pool. And, yes, money has to go into keeping them going. But kids learn to swim there. You know, my kids learn to swim in those pools. And it's when it's hot, that's where we go and all hang out as a community. And it's a, you know, people can swim. Like, their benefits are incredible.
Well, and they've been saying, pardon me, that the young people need to start to learn, because there's been a few horrible drownings, haven't they, that people not around here but go for a holiday down the beach somewhere and they think they're invincible, and there's been a few drownings this year, like that.
Yeah, I think the figures this year were the worst they've seen in a long time. But surprisingly, it's, you know, and again, I'm kind of probably talking my area of expertise, but, you know, Life Saving Victoria talks about the fact that it's mostly young men aged sort of 30 to 45.
Who think they're invincible.
Wow, who I think often jump in to try and save their kids, and the kids you know, so it's, anyway. So, yes, our swimming pools are very important, Alan, for many, many reasons.
Just while we're on that track, young men between 18 and 21, 25 think are invincible on the roads. They can do no wrong. And then when they get a bit older, they don't necessarily get all that smarter. They still keep taking risks as well.
Right. I'm not going to comment on that.
I'll take a
I'm not going to be drawn down that rabbit hole.
Make a big, nice plane in the street. Gonna be a big man. You're big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you.
A big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
TRL AFM 99.1.
Welcome back, and we're talking to Councillor Fiona McAllister. Fiona, a lot of people think that the councillor, all he or she does, I've got to get that right, is turn up at a council meeting once a month, maybe twice a month, and the rest of the time it's a pretty easy gig. So let's just take a quick rundown on what a normal day that you've got at the moment.
Yeah, day in the life. Great question, Alan. Thank you for asking me that. I think one of the things that probably a lot of people don't realise that most councillors work. So I work full time. I'm a psychologist by trade, and
hey.
So
hey, there you got me worried.
We can talk about that later.
No, maybe not.
So I'm a workplace psychologist, organisational psychologist. So that's my kind of full-time hat. And then council's probably about 20 hours a week of my week.
Which is a fair amount of time.
Yeah. So always a great and very diverse mix of things. So a Tuesday for me is a sort of 6 to 8 hours of council time. We always, every Tuesday, we have a meeting that normally starts at 5 with briefings, and then some every second week's a formal council meeting, the public meeting where we make the decisions on behalf of the community, and then the other week it's more information sessions and briefings on things and workshops. And so that's 6 to 8 hours on a Tuesday. And then this morning I'm on the Committee of Management for Jack Hawke Paul. I do that in my role as councillor. So I've already had, we have a committee meeting every couple of months. I've had that, looking through the financials, and gosh, great Paul, doing really well. Go and get your annual membership. They're a bargain, so I'll just put a plug in for that.
So you've paid off that.
And all of these are part of our council role, so we don't get paid any extra to do all these extra committees. It's just we're all on several committees. I'm also on the Audit and Risk Management Committee, which is reading hundreds of pages of risk assessments and financial data.
For council?
This is all in my role for council. I meet with certain community groups once a month, so I'll catch up with them and we'll go through an agenda of, you know, things they want to advocate for or questions or issues to raise. I might go out and meet on site with some residents looking at, you know, it might be issues around trees or roads or footpaths or flooding. What else? Well, I read the many emails that I get and don't always get back straight away, but try to make sure I get back to as many as I can, and there'd be hundreds of those every week. And then our council papers for our Tuesday meetings will be anything from 300 to 600 pages.
There's a lot of
material to read. So,
particularly any of the permits that come to council would be a lot of reading.
Hundreds of pages, those ones. So it's take calls, all sorts of things. Go to events, got to open the Connecting Community event, Anzac Day, represent council, lay reeds. That's kind of most of the things, and it's a busy week.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we've got some more questions to ask you. Fiona, we were talking about a time in the life of a councillor, and we were using you as an example. But one of the other things too, you were talking about all the things that you do, about being fully employed, and also the different things that you do for council. We should also mention that you're a mum, because I've never believed that being a mum's an easy job. And if you go home at night and mum's sitting on the couch watching a bit of a TV, well, what's it matter? Because mum's... they're the ones who get called out in the middle of the night because Junior's got a toothache and all that sort of stuff. So we should just mention that you're on top of all the other things, you are a mum, and you've got all the normal things that mums do.
I do, and I look. I certainly have a wonderful, supportive husband who, you know, the nights that I'm out, but I limit my nights out in a week. Now it's typically two nights a week for council things, three at the maximum, because family's really important. I still do story time with my youngest daughter, so sometimes at council they know I'll duck out and I do a video story time.
Yeah.
But dinner time at home is really sacred, so I always try to avoid being out at that time. And you know, I think my kids just have grown up with it, and family is always put first, but I get such a lovely lens on what matters in community and the world through the eyes of my children. And so, you know, the things that I don't think to notice, or the things that I think are really important, and they'll have quite a different perspective, is just wonderful.
And they just usually let mum know too.
Yes, they do. No holding back.
One of the other things that you touched on briefly before is advocacy. I'm not sure what council do. Is it advocacy between the councillor and the council, or councils trying to get other groups involved to make a joint submission to somewhere?
Both and more. So certainly my role as the local councillor is to advocate on behalf of the community. So if there are things that aren't happening or are really important for community. So I had a great email, you know, in the last few weeks post the power outages, saying recognise this might not be a council thing, but what can we all do, and how can you help us to make sure that we don't lose our communication when power goes out. So that's, again, I'll you know, have a voice on behalf of community. I've already spoken to the CEO at council about it. We'll hopefully, you know, run another campaign with the telcos to try and get them to have generators, so that the, you know, so that's a kind of me advocating on behalf of community, and then council picking that up.
Can I just mention before we go on about the other part of advocacy? I get my teeth.
It's a hard one to say, isn't it?
Fiona, one of the things that we've built up is technology, and it's, you know, they send text to you and say there's a fire on the way and all the sorts. But if the technology fails...
That's right.
So...
Yeah, and that's our Achilles heel. I mean, there's many things that we've, you know, we, community, council, government, really have worked on and need to continue to work on to resolve that. But that's, you know, that's the thing when... and we saw that play out again the last few weeks with power outages. Suddenly people didn't know what was going on because they couldn't get internet and their phones weren't working. And
you can't charge them?
Can't charge them, although we've started to fix that, and that we're now slowly putting in power banks in our council facilities, so that when power goes out, we'll have enough power for 5 days for people to charge phones and do that. But that doesn't resolve the communications issue, because you might have your phone powered up again, but you can't actually, you know, get any signal or get on the internet. So, because there aren't generators at a lot of the towers.
Towers.
Yeah.
So that's... local, that's you advocacy.
You could say me arguing for good things for the community.
That sounds better. What about council arguing with other councils to try and bring about a better ideas or better outcomes?
Yes, I mean, it happens constantly. That's a big part of the role of any local government, and maybe some examples. So last night, we had a council meeting last night. That's the formal ones where we vote on, you know, direction and decisions and spending money. And part of one of the items was us deciding on putting forward asks to the peak body for local government. So that's the Municipal Association of Victoria, trying to get a statewide advocacy push for certain things. And on that were three pretty big ticket issues that impact many people in Yarra Ranges. One was around, you know, we've got an increase in flooding, and that's impacting a lot of people, and it's actually getting state government to release, they do flood mapping release data. It's about having a whole of state approach between local and state government to mitigation and responding. So that was a big one there. Another one was, and I'll try not to get on my soapbox on this one, because this was one I put up, which I think is really important. So every year, Yarra Ranges Council pays around $3.8 million to the state government to use our landfills. So we pay what's called a landfill levy, and it goes into this big invisible bucket, which is then the state government spend it broadly on things that benefit community, supposedly for waste and recycling, but we never see, it's not very transparent. We don't know how much is in there. We don't know really where it goes. They say, oh, we're using this bucket of money for that. And also they don't give any back to councils to support all the work we have to do around rubbish and waste and recycling. And we could do a lot more in that space, and community pay for that.
Yep.
So it was saying we need to push hard to the state government to be more transparent. How much have you got in that bucket? What are you spending it on? And also start to give some back to community and
make
councils.
Sure it is all going to the one.
Yeah, that's right, because there was a report maybe 6 or 7 years ago that estimated that at that point there was about $500 million just sitting in this sustainability fund. So we don't know how much is in there, don't know what it's being spent on or how much specifically is being spent, and we aren't seeing it come back to local government or communities to support waste and recycling. Yeah.
Fair enough. We'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Unfortunately, we're fast getting out of time, but we've still got about another 10 minutes. But I guess we've been talking quite a bit about you advocating to council for people. So I guess you're always interested in hearing from what the local people see as their probably one, two and three priorities, aren't you?
I am, and some people are really good at make it really clear, and the meetings that I have monthly with community groups. But I suppose my radar is always up, so, you know, the flooding recently, I know the Yarra Glen Football, Netball, Cricket Club, the pavilion is always terribly impacted by flooding, and straight away, you know, pick up the phone, speak to director of you know, infrastructure at council, and ask what can we do and how do we support them. So that's, you know, I've got to be constantly thinking and listening and watching and talking to people. Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess you still wouldn't mind if other people that haven't contacted you in the past would like to come up and say, and get hold of you and say, oh, look, we see this as the number one priority.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's many ways to do it. I think, you know, my contact, every councillor's contact details are on our website at council, so our phone, our mobile phone numbers and our email. I meet, I try to take Wednesday afternoons off work and other afternoons if I can off my other job. And so often we'll meet people down at the Hillsville Link, or I can meet in Yarra Glen or elsewhere. So really happy if people want to text me or shoot me an email and we can make that happen. Won't be the same day that I get back to them, but we'll get back. And then the other thing that too, that I love it when every council, every formal council meeting, people can put in questions they want answered and they'll get a written response read out, or they can come and make a submission. And that sounds terrifying and formal, but if you've got a great idea or a community group that you want to talk about, or you've got a beef about something or something you want fixed, you can come and actually speak to the council. And we've had, I had a couple of kids and their mum from Yarra Glen come and talk about a road safety concern. We've had Hickey come and talk about, you know, their situation, their great work and funding needs. I'd love people to talk to me about that if they want to do that, because you get the ears of full council, and it's a chance to really get your issue or your idea or your group kind of front of mind.
Which sometimes might be overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fiona, I'm going to ask you a question now, and you're going to tell me, oh, that's hard to answer. If I said to you today, there's a bucket of money, it's limitless, but you can either have one or two projects. What would you see, and it doesn't have to necessarily be in this area, what would be the two major or one major project that you'd love to fund?
God,
but probably may never be able to fund, and it's not your fault or council's fault. But I knew you were going to say it was tough.
No, well, it's not impossible. I think I'm going to answer your question, but it's not going to be exactly what
that's
you asked me. So I definitely, you know, top of the list for building stuff at the moment is the Don Road Pavilion. That's and it's much harder to get money out of state and federal government at the moment. But that's, you know, it's front of mind and it is top of the list. So that's one, because that's such a important for those clubs, but again, you know, it's such a great community space and location. And the other one is, I'm going to use a big amount of that bottomless bucket of money, Alan, that you're going to give me, which I'm very excited about.
I didn't say it was there.
Oh, damn. I must have misunderstood the question. I'm going to use that to put more into all our grant programs.
Yeah.
So we have infrastructure grants for clubs. We have little small grants that are available all the time of up to $1,000. We have grants for arts and festivals. We have grants for all sorts of things, and they're always oversubscribed, and we up the bucket of money every year. But gosh, if we could throw another $5 million into that, then, you know, the benefits as a community would just be amazing. So I'm going to use some of my money for that, if that's okay.
It must be hard for some of those groups, pardon me, not so much for the groups, but for council, that they see this project and they say, gee, that's a really great project, but we've allocated so many million to this, and they're all great groups, but there's still three or four that we just can't fund. That must be hard.
It is hard, and it's, you know, again, it's, I think you made the comment earlier on, there's always going to be people disappointed, and I You know, I know when if we use grants as an example, it's really trying to find a way to fund as many as we can and then find other ways to bring those projects to life that might not be money, it might be staff support or, you know, those sorts of things. And every budget that, you know, we debate a lot about, you know, some things just can't fund it. So, yeah.
And I guess too, part of the problem is that you're always, no matter how much you allocate, you've got to allocate $100 million and it's still not going to cover what can be done, is it?
No. And, you know, again, we're a huge council area, 2,500 square kilometres. We're the biggest in Victoria. So many roads and footpaths and swimming pools and playgrounds. That's just the built stuff, let alone a community of 160,000. So,
and I guess that is a problem, is it? Being such a big area that what you just mentioned, there are more roads than anywhere else. Probably more footpaths.
More playgrounds. Yeah. We've got more swimming pools than any other local government area in Victoria.
Have you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
And so what you just said, though, it is the biggest council around, is it?
In terms of because we're considered metropolitan, so if you take our geographical footprint,
yep,
we would cover almost half of metropolitan Melbourne.
Yeah, because some of those might have as many people, pardon me, but their houses are side by side.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
So that puts you, I mean, it's dearer to collect the rubbish. It's. I mean, you've got trucks going further, you've got people out there longer, or more trucks.
We've got more street lights, we've got, you know, like, so it's just this kind of exponentially larger thing to fund, and that's where, you know, people often will have great ideas. So hard waste pickup, you know, people say, well, why don't we do what the metro areas do, where you when you need it, you just ring up and book it.
Yep.
It's a great idea, but imagine trying to travel around 2,500 square kilometres to pick up individual lots of hard waste. So
yeah,
we look at that and
that.
We cost those things, but they would cost three times as much as what we currently do. So but yeah, look, it's we love where we live. It's amazing, and I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yep.
But it's a big area. It really is.
And I guess the other issue too, pardon me, and we just touched on this before, is because it, like, if you're talking about Richmond, Collingwood, Caulfield, some of those areas, you just don't have the problems with the trees falling down when a big storm goes through. So I guess apart from the fact that the rubbish and all that costs more, and that there's more urgent call outs in probably this area than what there would be in many other areas.
Oh, absolutely. And even look at, you know, we have amazing open space, amazing parks and parkland, but again, maintaining those. So if you go to Burundara Council, which is Kew, and, you know, they've got little parks, but nothing like our amazing, you know, Mackenzie Reserve and Queen's Park, and we would never want to lose those. We love them. That's about, that's what Yarra Ranges is about. But it's a lot more open space to maintain. So
yeah, I actually hadn't thought of that. Mm. Because unfortunately all these things cover the cost, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Fiona, it's been terrific having you here again. It's been a long while since we spoke to you. We probably need to talk to you again later in the year.
It'd be my pleasure.
And we've always have a bit of fun with you. But I wish you well. And all I can say at times is probably pretty lonely, because for each grant you give out, there might be one that misses out. And so the ones that miss out don't particularly think that you've done a good job. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there is still a limit of money, isn't there?
Yeah.
And the same thing with council.
Yeah, and I always love our conversations, Alan, and I love my role as councillor. It's a big responsibility and I take it very seriously, but I get to work with an incredible community.
So. That's terrific. You also obviously enjoy it. And so we wish you well in the coming year. Unfortunately, our time's just about gone, but we'll definitely get you back again later in the year. We should have you not just every year and a half or something. We'll probably try and get you a couple of times a year, because
Wonderful.
There's a lot of things coming up. Things will probably go into a bit of a hiatus once we start to get into winter. You don't want to be planning too many festivals because they fall over because of a wet day.
They do.
But again, once we start to get down to September, things ramp up again too, don't they?
They do, they do. But there's always something going on in Yarra Ranges and the Yarra Valley. So.
And people need to get around. I had someone in from Mont Delancey the other week talking, and very often people will go for a picnic all over Melbourne and forget that they've got Mont Delancey in their own backyard.
Very true.
Thanks, Fiona.